BBC presents Destination Fire. The Reluctant Fire Raiser. A story by Philip Levine with Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby, fire investigator.
That was quite a reception, Pete.
Not bad as they go.
Well, I loved it.
The trouble is, you only go to about one in five. I have to attend at least three a week.
As a diplomat, they're your stock in trade.
A diplomat? That'll make me laugh.
What do you mean?
I'm a fourth secretary in an insignificant department of the American Embassy. Now, do we wend our way in, or do we settle down here for the night?
Give me the keys and I'll put the car away.
You're a very obliging wife.
Aren't I? Now, out.
You wouldn't care for a cigarette, would you?
Light one for me. I won't be long.
I'll call a doctor. Quick! My face, it's burnt.
Turn the handle and push hard. Why, Inspector Hackett.
Hello, Val.
Well, you're quite a stranger.
Not through choice, my dear, I promise you that. Is the great man in?
If you're referring to my employer, Mr. Quentin Barnaby, afraid the answer's no.
But I must get hold of him. It's important.
Have you tried his flat?
I did, at 8:30. No reply.
Oh, well, I'm sure he'll turn up.
Can I go into the office? If I remember rightly, there's a nice, comfortable couch in there.
Help yourself.
To be honest, the old tummy's playing me up again.
Oh, I thought you'd got over that.
I would, if only I could stick to my diet. But I ask you, how can a man of my size survive on steamed fish and lukewarm milk?
Well, go on then and make yourself at home. And there's a cigarette on the desk if you want it.
Thanks.
Morning, Val.
Thank you.
Oh, here's my report on the Benson fire.
Oh, thanks.
You know, all this talk about sabotage. One of the charwomen hung a duster on an overheated steam pipe. If only people would realize that some steam pipes can be as dangerous as a lighted match.
Mm.
Well, now, Miss Crane, what's on the agenda this morning?
Hackett.
Hackett?
Hackett. Inspector.
Robbie?
Mm-hmm. Stomach and all. He's taking a rest cure next door.
Okay. Oh, let's have a cuppa when you have a moment, eh, Val?
Rightio.
Well, that's a very inelegant position for a police inspector.
And what happened to you? I rang your flat at 8:30.
Did you? Good job I was out. I understand the GPO object to vile language.
And I understand a certain ministry pay you a retainer to be available if and when your services are required.
Now, Robbie, you don't begrudge me a few shekels of the taxpayers' money.
Heaven forbid.
It's just as well. Those cigarettes you're smoking are off my expense account.
Oh, good. I'll
and if you
another.
Don't mind, the place for the ashes in the ashtray. Hardly a good advert if I go up and smoke.
Yes, I see your point.
Well, as you've kept your hat on, I presume this isn't a social call.
No, strictly official. You may have read about that little farrago out in Hampstead last night.
No, I rarely delve beyond the headlines.
Well, our fourth secretary at the American Embassy got back home around 2 a.m, let himself in, went to light a cigarette, and woof!
And what exactly does woof mean?
A flash, a mild explosion. The hall was full of petrol.
Charming. Was he badly injured?
Bad enough. His face will need a spot of plastic surgery. He's over at the Medway Clinic.
Mm-hmm. Well, go on, let's hear the rest.
Well, the place was empty. The maid was off for the weekend. No signs of a forced entry, nothing missing. It looks as though the petrol came through the letterbox.
A fire raiser?
It's possible, I suppose, but with a diplomat involved, the ministry suspect intimidation. They want the cause of the explosion investigated. And who better than Barnaby?
But you've told me the cause, petrol.
Oh, yes, but you know what they're like at the ministry. They'd hate anyone to suggest they've been lax. Send them a typed report, that should satisfy them.
Well, all right. It never does to bite the hand that feeds. What's the address?
1 Ludlow Drive, Hampstead.
1 Ludlow Drive.
Now, give me time and I'll tell Mrs. Ansell to expect you.
Hello. You must be Mr. Barnaby.
Yes.
I'm Mrs. Ansell. Won't you come in?
Oh, thank you.
My husband's in hospital.
Yes, I've heard. How is he?
More cheerful than I expected, though I must say it was pretty upsetting at the time. Oh, I'm afraid the hall's still in something of a mess.
Mm. But nothing's been touched?
No.
What actually happened, Mrs. Ansell?
I'm still not quite sure. My husband could tell you more about that.
Those cigarettes there on the floor, are they his?
Yes. And that lighter.
I see. What about that match?
What match?
Oh, there, between the carpet and the skirting. There's another one over here, too. Stuck to the felt.
Oh. They're such a mess, I never saw those. Book matches, aren't they?
Yes. Do they belong to either you or your husband?
No, not to my knowledge. We rarely use matches. We're all electric here.
I see. I'd like a small piece of this carpet for examination, if I may.
Help yourself. It's ruined anyway. Do you want a pair of scissors?
No, it's all right. I have a knife, thank you. There we are. Now, I'd just like to take a look outside the front door.
Outside?
Yes, by the porch. I see this tile step slopes away from the house.
To save the rain coming in, I suppose?
Now, if I can just find an old envelope. Yeah. There we are. Yes, I'd just like to take a small sample of soil by the step. Oh, don't worry. I shan't disturb your plants.
Now, I expect you'd like to wash after that.
Yes, thanks, I would. Then I'm going across to the clinic to see your husband.
Don't bother with that chair, Mr. Barnaby. Squat on the end of the bed.
Oh, thanks.
Help yourself to a cigarette.
No, not for me, thanks, Mr. Ansell.
Well, I must look quite a sight covered in these bandages.
Well, you were lucky to have got off so lightly. Petrol vapor can be pretty damaging.
But why pick on me? If I had any enemies, I left them all back in the States. I have nothing but friends here.
Naturally. I'm surprised you didn't smell the petrol as you let yourself in.
Well, I did, and I didn't. I was tired, and I more or less flicked my lighter as I opened the door.
Hmm. Well, one last thing. These used matches. Have a look at them. Are they yours?
No, not mine. Where'd you get them?
Well, they were in the hall.
I wonder if they came through the letterbox with the gasoline.
Possibly.
Say, Mr. Barnaby, do you play gin rummy by any chance?
Oh, excuse me.
Come in, nurse.
There's an Inspector Hackett asking for Mr. Barnaby.
Oh, this is your man.
Oh, thanks, sir. I'll be right out, nurse.
Hey, I asked you if you played gin rummy.
I do, but never in working hours. Excuse me a moment, will you?
All right, Q, you can forget that report. Back to your office. It is a fire raiser.
What?
A couple of nights back, petrol was poured through a letterbox at number 23 Merrifield Road. That's in the next division. The local police were handling it themselves, but when the news got out about Ansell, they thought there might be some connection and got on to us.
How far is that from the Ansell's house?
About half a mile.
Did they find any other evidence?
2 or 3 matches.
Ah.
I have them here in an envelope. They sent them along with the report.
Well, let's have a look at them, may I?
Yes, here. Ordinary wax type from a book.
Hmm. Ordinary they may be, but I think there's something a little extraordinary about this, Robbie.
Oh?
Well, I may be barking up the wrong tree, but what was that address again?
23 Merrifield Road, NW3.
Won't you take a seat, Mr. Barnaby?
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Knight. Now, Mrs. Knight, about the matter you reported to the police. Tell me, did you see anyone?
No, it was past 11 when I got back from my bridge party. But it was obviously ruffians of some sort. Who else would pour petrol through a letterbox?
Hmm. But
No one had broken in. There was nothing missing.
No, everything seemed quite normal till I opened the front door. Then the smell of petrol was overpowering.
Yes. Was there any liquid on the floor?
Some, and there was a large stain on the hall rug.
Oh, where's the rug now?
In the hall cupboard. Frankly, I doubt if it'll clean.
Do you think I might borrow it?
Oh, I don't see why not. By the way, I also found some matches, but the police took them.
Yes, yes, I know. Now, there's just one other thing I want before I go.
Yes?
That's a handful of soil from that flower bed by the porch.
Sorry to get you, Robbie. I was up in the laboratory with Alec. He's working on those samples now.
Oh, you should have let our chaps handle them. I'm sure you've got better things to do than chase a fire raiser, eh?
But this is no ordinary fire raiser.
No?
No, sir, not by a long chalk. In fact, the more I think about it, the more it intrigues me.
All right, Q, let's have the cards on the table.
No, it's not cards, Robbie. Matches.
Matches?
Yeah. Let's get them out, shall we? There we are. Now, a couple from the Ansells' house and three for Mrs. Knight's. Mm-hmm. Now, Robbie, first things first. Our fire raiser uses a book of matches instead of a box. And if you look at all these matches, you'll see they're almost burnt right down.
Yeah.
Now, if they'd been thrown through the letterbox alight, the petrol would have caught fire and the house would have gone up in smoke.
Yes, I see what you mean.
As strange as it may seem, I'd say these matches were struck, blown out, and then thrown through the letterbox.
What?
In other words, our fire raiser didn't want to start a fire.
A reluctant fire raiser. That's a bit crazy, isn't it?
Well, I can't fathom it either, but I intend to stay with it until I do.
Yes, who is it? Come in. Oh, Alec, come in. I believe you two know each other.
Yes, yes, I've met your backroom boy. How are you, Alec?
Well, thank you, sir.
How'd you get on, Alec?
I extracted some petrol from both the carpet and the rug. I checked the boiling range, flash point, and refractive index. The same brand was used in both cases.
Which brand was it?
Top Grade XG.
Oh, that won't help much. Almost every other garage sells that brand.
And there was similar petrol in both samples of soil.
Soil? What soil?
Simple enough, Robbie. It isn't all that easy to pour petrol through a letterbox. Some of it's bound to get spilt. And if it runs down the porch, it'll collect by the edge of the flower bed.
Oh, yeah, I'm out of my depth with you chaps.
Any luck with the matches, Alec?
Book type. Wax impregnated. Pretty common. But I'd say they're all from a similar book.
What are you, clairvoyant?
No, Inspector. Well, although the matches were charred, there was obviously some printing on them. By chemical means, I've managed to distinguish the last two letters. They're D-A.
D-A?
Yes, it doesn't fit any of our manufacturers. They're probably from a bar or a club of some sort. Val's checking on them now.
Name of a club ending in D-A. No? And blowed if I can think of any.
Well, let's see if Val's had any luck. How are we doing, Val?
Not too badly. There are three clubs ending in the letters D-A. The Lagonda, the Panda, and the Vino Pravda.
Good grief, they've got about 10,000 members between them. It'll take a fair time to sift through that little lot.
But you could check the addresses. See who lives in the Hampstead area.
I've also been checking up in the garages. I haven't got a complete list yet, but there's one selling XG brand at Kennelly's Corner.
Kennelly's Corner?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just pass me that street directory, will you, like? The Kelton Avenue, Kemsley Place. Here we are, Kennelly's Corner. Well, isn't that a coincidence? That's halfway between the Ansells and Mrs. Knight's.
Quentin Barnaby's office.
Hello, Val.
Hmm?
Q here. Look, I've tried the garage at Kennelly's Corner and all the others in the area, but no luck, I'm afraid.
Wasn't sold by the can, your reluctant fire raiser must have siphoned the petrol out of a car.
Mm.
Or perhaps it's just a child of some dreary practical joker.
Well, you could be right. But you say it's easy enough to siphon petrol out of a tank, and I suppose the matches could have been picked up anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
I suppose I'd better repress my curiosity, eh? Carl, I'll see you first thing in the morning at the office. Yes, hello.
Q?
Huh? Who's that?
It's Robbie, man.
Robbie? Hey, you know what time it is?
Do I? Don't think I'm lying in bed. There's a fire broken out within a stone's throw of the Ansell's place at Kenton Road. Looks as though our fire raiser's been at it again.
Yeah, but not so reluctant by the sound of it, eh?
It's the same one, all right. Look, I can't explain on the phone. How soon can you get here?
Well, if I come as I am, 10 minutes. But in the interest of propriety, I'd better say 15, huh?
Over here.
Oh, Robbie, quite a blaze, eh?
Yes. Oh, this is the divisional fire officer. He's in charge here.
I do. I don't envy you.
No, there won't be much to salvage here.
Who called the brigade, Robbie?
The owner, Mr. Lorimer. But I expect you'd prefer to hear the story from the horse's mouth.
He's over by the police car.
Or was? Good Lord.
What's up?
That's him heading towards the house.
Damn fool, he can't do anything now.
Lorimer! Come back here! Last idiot, he's been in the front door.
All right, Robbie, leave this to me. Mr. Lorimer! Mr. Lorimer! Now don't go up in there!
But my things!
Use your head, man. It's like an inferno upstairs. Now come on out of here, quick!
But I'll lose everything. I've got some fine pieces.
Now forget them, will you? You can't do anything now. Come on, out!
They're of great value!
For heaven's sakes, will you get out of here?
No!
The roof will be in any second. Now stop arguing and get out of that door.
I'm not leaving without my things!
Do you hear me? Look, it's the roof! A quick man!
Oh. Close one. You all right?
Yes, I think.
Now come on over to my car and sit down.
Now, I can just stick this light on. It won't worry you if I take a few notes, will it?
No, do.
Well, now, look, don't worry about me. Just chat away quite informally. I'll butt in if need be.
I suppose I got back here around 10 to 1. I garaged the car and then went to let myself in. Mm-hmm. As I approached the door, I thought I saw a light in the hall. I was sure I'd switched it off.
The house was empty?
I went out. But yes, I live alone. My wife and I are separated. Well, as I was saying, I was a trifle puzzled. I opened the letterbox and peered through. The hall carpet and part of the stairs were alight, and there was a strong smell of petrol. Well, I was in a bit of a panic. So I ran down to Penwith Road. I dialed 999 and called the brigade. Then I rang the police.
How long would you say that took you, all told?
I suppose from the time I garaged the car to 10-15 minutes. The brigade got here pretty quickly, but there wasn't much they could do.
Now, you say you smelt petrol.
Oh, yes. It's quite definite. I'd say the hall was saturated.
I see. Well, I think that's all I need for the moment. Mr. Lorimer, have you anywhere to stay tonight?
Well, I've got one or two friends, but I suppose I ought to go to a hotel.
Well, either way, perhaps you'd leave your address with one of the police officers. I shan't be leaving for some time. I want to inspect the debris once the fire's out.
Morning, Val.
Good or bad?
I'll leave you to guess.
I don't have to. Hackett's been on. I hear you had a busy night. He wants you to call him back.
Does he now? Well, I'd get him. I'll take it in my office.
Oh, I put a Mr. Lorimer in there.
Lorimer?
Yes, he's the man whose house...
I know who he is. Yeah. You'd better leave Hackett for a moment. Oh, and you might drop these samples into Alec. They're from the Lorimer's house.
Right here.
They're, ask him to check for petrol and get him to verify it's XG, huh?
All right, Q.
I see you're an early riser, Mr. Lorimer.
Am I intruding?
No, not at all.
But I suppose I ought to apologize for barging in like this. It's very simple, really. In all the excitement last night, I got rather confused.
Naturally, that often happens.
Yes, but I would hate you to think I was withholding important information.
Look, do sit down, Mr. Lorimer.
Oh, yes, thank you. You may remember my telling you that I peered through the letterbox.
Yes.
Well, the carpet was alight, but I distinctly saw a candle on the floor, lying on its side.
I see. A whole candle or just an odd piece?
Oh, a whole candle, about 8 or 9 inches in length. It must have been thrown through the letterbox, too.
I suppose you know you're the third victim.
No, this is news to me. But if I'm to tell you the truth, I'm somewhat relieved by what you've told me.
Relieved?
Yes. Please, I would hate you to misunderstand me, but... you see, my wife and I parted on rather bad terms, and we've had some violent disagreements. For one brief moment, I imagined that perhaps she... I'm sure you understand.
Of course, of course.
Still, from what you've told me, it's obviously a maniac of some sort, don't you think?
Possibly. Oh, just for the record, tell me, who did the property belong to, you or your wife?
It's in both our names. As a matter of fact, when we separated, she wanted me to move out. She had the idea of converting the place into flats. They fetch very big rents in that area.
Mm.
I wouldn't agree, and there has been a lot of bad feeling.
Does she know about the fire?
Oh, yes, yes, I rang her earlier on.
How did she take it?
She sounded very upset, genuinely so.
Oh, excuse me. Yes?
Sorry to interrupt, Q, but the inspector's in the line. Can you take it?
Yes, Val, put him through, will you? Go ahead, Robbie.
Hello, Q. Got some news for you.
Yes?
Those matches we found, I've been through the list of club members. By some strange coincidence, a Mrs. J. Lorimer is a member of the Vino Pravda.
Wow, that is interesting.
Yes, isn't it just? Mind you, I haven't checked on her yet. She's at Flat 4, Crispin Court, Maida Vale.
Well, don't bother. I'll handle that. Thanks for calling, Robbie. I'll be in touch. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I suppose I ought to be on my way. I'm due at the insurance company in 15 minutes.
Oh, before you go, Mr. Lorimer, do you happen to know your wife's address? As part owner of the property, I may have to talk to her.
Yes, of course. It's Flat 4. Flat 4, Crispin Court, Maida Vale.
Mrs. Lorimer?
Yes?
My name's Barnaby. I'm looking into the fire at Kenton Road. Oh. May I talk to you?
Yes, of course. Come in.
Thank you.
My husband rang me this morning at some ungodly hour. Trust him. Well, I must say, it did take my breath away, though I suppose I ought to be thankful we're covered by insurance.
It wasn't an accident. You know that, don't you?
Vaguely. I suppose you'll want to know where I was last night and who I was with.
Well, that's right. Can you oblige?
In part. I was here.
Alone?
Well, in some circles, that's less incriminating. Yes, I was alone.
All evening?
Yes.
I see. Have you a key to the house in Kenton Road?
Yes, too. So is my husband. As you've gathered, we're living apart.
Yes, yes. He mentioned something about a disagreement.
He would. I thought he ought to move out. You see, I had it in mind to convert. I prefer income to capital. Now I'll be stuck with the capital.
Well, 5,000 apiece is hardly to be sniffed at.
Oh, he won't buy me another property in that area. You mind if I smoke?
No, go ahead. No, not for me, thanks. That's a very colorful book of matches you've got there.
From a club I belong to, the Vino Pravda. Nice place. I've been a member for years.
I hear you've been looking for me, Alec.
Oh, yes, these samples from the Lorimer's place. There's petrol in the debris, XG, but there's nothing in the soil from the flower bed.
Really? That's strange.
Not a trace of anything volatile.
You certain? Well, that's a damn silly thing to ask. Of course you are. Look, Alec, grab your coat and get a spade and a sieve from the store. We're going back to Kenton Road.
Well, that covers all the metal windows, Q.
What about the locks?
Well, those too. They were all bolted at the time of the fire. No one could have broken in. Oh, and there's that letterbox container. It's distorted, but intact.
Yeah.
There's the little door you open up.
Mm-hmm. What was the height of the front door?
From the frame, 6'6".
Right. All right, let's get rid of this debris in the hall. But watch it, the structure's pretty dangerous. I'll start at this end of the hall, and you take the other.
What are we looking for?
A wick. A candle wick about 8 or 9 inches in length.
I've got it, Q. I think I've got it.
Huh? Here, let's have a look. Yeah, that's it, all right. Good lad.
It's charred, but intact.
Well, go easy with it. Into an envelope and mark it Exhibit 1.
The girl at reception said 113, didn't she?
This looks like it.
It's a smart hotel. I wish I could run to it.
Mr. Barnaby?
Oh, good evening, Mr. Lorimer. I believe you've met Inspector Hackett.
Yes, at the fire.
Do you mind if we come in? This won't take long. It's just a confirmation of your statement, that's all.
Very well.
Now, you told me that when you got back to the house, the hall was alight. You peered through the letterbox and saw a candle about 8 inches in length.
That's correct. Yes, it must have been dropped through the box.
I'm afraid not.
What?
A candle of that length would have stayed in the letter container. It couldn't possibly have dropped out.
Well, perhaps I made a mistake. Maybe it was smaller.
No. Here's the wick. You see, it doesn't burn away when a candle's lying on its side.
Are you suggesting I lied to you?
Yes, I am, Mr. Lorimer.
What?
Even if the candle had fallen out of the container, it would have been at the foot of the door. You couldn't have seen it by looking through the letterbox.
What do you mean?
Mr. Lorimer, I'm of the opinion that you set fire to that house yourself. Your wife refused to sell the house because she wanted to convert. You preferred the capital. So the only way was to split the insurance. It was you who started the fire-raising scare, so you'd look like another victim. You even tried to incriminate your wife by using an old book of her matches, didn't you?
Yes, but I didn't set the other place alight.
A man almost lost his life when he lit a cigarette.
I know, but I didn't mean to...
Now, don't plead with me, Mr. Lorimer. I'm afraid the inspector takes over from here.
That was Robert Beatty as Q Barnaby and Gudrun Ure as Val in The Reluctant Fire Raiser, written by Philip Levine and produced for the BBC by Martin C. Webster.